Jim's leading the song, and we've enjoyed Jim and Pat as our guests this weekend. And thank you for coming today, even though you knew I wasn't speaking. And some of you, we've had two or three families that put off going back home. When we announced last week that Joe Barnett would be our speaker today, they've stayed over. And that includes people who have heard of you all their lives, but have never met you. And Donna, I want you to meet Joe Barnett. Donna has married a young man from Lubbock, who says that when you were the preacher at the Broadway Church in Lubbock, you saved his soul because he was a student at Tech and he started attending the Broadway Church. And so we're glad to have Jimmy here. And I don't know whether he's met you or not. He used to listen to you all the time. But Donna has never met you. So I want to make sure, Donna, you get a chance to meet Joe. And you know, we're so blessed here at Broadway because we have such great friends. And this includes Jim and Pat. When our building was destroyed in the hurricane, we could not have rebuilt without the assistance of Jim. And not only his service to us as a speaker at times, but also as the song leader, he was almost here every day helping us clear out the rubbish and prepare to rebuild. I want to introduce our speaker for those especially who might not be acquainted with him from other places. He graduated from Abilene Christian College. He served only four churches in his extensive career as a local preacher, but two of those, the Central Church of Christ in Amarillo, Texas, and the Lubbock Broadway Church in Lubbock, were two of the largest, and in fact the largest Church of Christ at the time when he retired from that congregation in the world, was in Lubbock, Texas. He has served on the board of trustees of several of our universities, Lubbock Christian University and Pepperdine University. For 5 years, he was the featured speaker on the Herald of Truth television program. For 10 years, he edited 20th Century Christian. And he has become the most prolific writer in the history of the Churches of Christ. If you are not on the receiving end of his daily devotional, you can look on the back of our program and it will tell you how to become such a person. It's completely free, without charge, and 40 different nations are represented each morning as readers of that publication. He's a wordsmith. Unlike some preachers, I'm sure, when I get one of his thoughts and it moves me and I present a lesson on it, I usually tell you that this is what Joe Barnett has written. I like to give him the credit. In fact, recently when I spoke on Ephesians 3:20, I told you that the most original thought of understanding this verse was I had gotten from Joe Barnett, and I read you what he wrote. And Monday morning I emailed Joe and I said, "Joe, you and I had a good sermon last Sunday." He has been my best friend for over 50 years. We're glad to have Doug as a member of this congregation, his son, who is also this kind of the unofficial church photographer. He's been a real asset to us and a real friend. And I'm glad you're here to hear Joe Barnett.
Well, Joe, you were correct. This is the first time I've been in a pulpit since early this year, and longer than that, as far as being in this Broadway pulpit. And some of you are aware that back in January, I began having vision loss in my right eye, and examination indicated that it was a detached retina. So I had to have surgery for that in early February, and some things didn't go too well, and so in May I had to have a second surgery on that eye. And so the reason that I haven't been in any pulpits, other than the fact that I haven't been invited, the reason that I haven't been is because I couldn't read my notes. And that's problematic for me. When I graduated from college and assumed my first full-time pulpit assignment with a wonderful little church, I was burdened with what seemed to me to be a mandate that we had to preach without notes. And for some reason that totally escapes me, when I came out of college, that was the thing that preacher boys were expected to do, preach without notes. And that was quite a problem for me because memorization has never been my long suit. And so it was very disturbing. I would go ahead and try to do it that way. I would make my sermon notes and memorize them or try to and go into the pulpit and preach. Invariably, I would forget something that I thought was extremely important. And so I would stew over that for days. I was very discouraged. I really thought, this is probably not what I ought to be doing. And I considered going into some other line of work. There was a seasoned and wonderful preacher who came to our little church to conduct a gospel meeting. And at the end of that meeting, he said, Joe, can I give you some advice? Let me tell you something. When a preacher asks if he can give you some advice, go ahead and say yes, because he's going to anyway. He's not really asking for permission. He's just announcing to you what he's going to do. So, of course, I said yes. And he said, I know that you're very discouraged, and I know why. I want to tell you that what you need to do is to prepare well, go into the pulpit, do the very best that you can do. Somebody else might do it better, but you do the very best that you can do. That's all that can be expected from you. Do the best that you can do. But here's my advice. Don't think about it the next day. When you walk down out of that pulpit, forget it. He said, that's what the church is going to do, so you might as well make it unanimous. Alan and Larry have been so gracious to allow me in this pulpit on this particular weekend for many, many years. And I'm so grateful for that. I have missed you more than I can tell you. And when I was thinking about what I wanted to talk about here today, it just kept coming back to me that I sort of wanted to have a heart-to-heart talk with you. And if I were to title my message, I guess that's what it would be, heart-to-heart. I had an elder in Lubbock who was born in Lubbock, lived all of his life in Lubbock, died in Lubbock. His entire world existed within the city limits of Lubbock, Texas. When we would be working to get a group together to go to the Holy Land, he wanted no part of that. He couldn't understand it. Made no sense to him to get on a boat or in an airplane and go to the Holy Land when he thought he was already in it. My younger days were somewhat like that. I went all the way through elementary school, junior high school, and high school in Midland, Texas. I knew very little of anything that went on outside the city limits of Midland, Texas. I do not know when I first became aware that there was a place called Galveston. I'm sure it was at least junior high school, maybe high school, before I ever even knew there was such a place. The first time that I was ever in Galveston was when I was in college. I was in the band, and we took band tours and went to different places, and we would play concerts in their high schools and try to interest their students in coming to Abilene Christian College. One of those band tours brought us to Galveston, Texas. That was my first time here. And we stayed in the homes of members of this church. That was my first acquaintance with this church. I have no idea whose home hosted me and my roommate. I wish I knew so I could pay for the damages. But that was my first acquaintance here. And of course, later years, I became intimately acquainted with this church through Alan and Mikey. Broadway is a wonderful church. I hope you know that. It's a wonderful church. In one of Alan's About Us posts some time ago, he wrote about some former members here, John and Katie Bixby. And there was some point where they left here and moved to Oklahoma. And as I understand it, John has had some pretty serious health issues. And he and Katie have expressed how they covet the prayers of this church and repeatedly expressed their gratitude for the prayers of this church. I buy into that because I know that many of you have prayed for me, and I'm profoundly grateful for that. But they have such an affection for this church. And the closing line in Alan's post on that was this: once a part of Broadway, always a part of Broadway. That's who we are. And I say amen to that. There are many people who feel that way. And if you read Alan's post this past Friday, you know that the Bixbys were the first people to make a donation for next week's mission contribution. And one of their comments was, "Broadway always feels like home." And I understand that. One of my predecessors at the Broadway Church in Lubbock was Dr. Norville Young. He left that pulpit to become president of Pepperdine University. I think it was Pepperdine College at the time. He was a remarkable man. He was a dynamo of positive thinking. He loved people. He believed in people. He was an extraordinary encourager of people. For several years, I was on the Pepperdine campus three or four times a year. And the thing that I enjoyed most about my visit there was walking that campus with Norville Young, because he greeted everybody that we met friendly, in a friendly, cheerful sort of way. And he said the same thing to every single person we met: "You're doing more good than you know. You're doing more good than you know." And that's what he said to administrators, and that's what he said to professors and groundskeepers and custodians and cafeteria workers and faculty and students, to everybody. "You're doing more good than you know." You know, I think that Paul the Apostle would have bought into that, because when he came to the close of his letter to the Romans, he named 27 people. 27 people who had done more good than they knew. A few of those you've heard of, but most of them you haven't heard of except right there in the 16th of Romans, because they're never mentioned anywhere else. Nowhere else in your Bible do you read of Epaminondas or Andronicus or Ampliatus or Urbanus or Tryphena or Tryphosa. You don't read of any of those anywhere else in the Bible. And it may seem strange to us, that the greatest theological document in history, the letter to the Romans, would take up space naming a bunch of people who were totally unknown outside their own community, outside their own little circle. But you see, that's the way God built his church. And that's the way God still builds his church. He builds his church by the words and the acts of people who are not seeking notoriety, but who are only seeking to glorify God and build his church in their own little corner of the world and do good by what they say and by what they do. And when I think of the Broadway church, that's always the way I think about it. I think about a group of people, wonderful people, who have banded together to make their corner of the world, right here, a better place. People who do that by the way they live and have built a remarkable church by committing their money and their talent and their lives to God. But there's one mistake in what I've said. It isn't just your own corner of the world. You are not a huge church, but you have a huge impact almost all over the world by the things that you've done. You have nurtured medical students who have come here and done their medical training and then gone to various places in the world. One of my dear friends and a great asset to the church in Lubbock was a doctor who received his medical training right here and who was nurtured spiritually right here by this church. And I know of no church anywhere that has the percentage of budget that is dedicated to mission work as this church. It's a remarkable thing. You have done and you are doing more good than you know. You know, in Paul's introductory remarks in his letter to the church in Philippi, he looked at both the past and the future. When he looked at the past, he said, "I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank my God every time I remember you." And when he looked to the future, he said that he was confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. God isn't finished with you. Your past is brilliant, commendable, and you have a future that God is going to see through all the way to the end. You know, Paul's first words there express the feeling that I and so many people have for you. I thank my God every time I remember you. You've enriched my life. You've enriched the lives of many, many people. And every time we think of you, we thank God. You're what a church ought to be. Jesus one time said, "By this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another." And you do that about as good as any church I know. And he said, you know, the Apostle John, by the way, saw something in the church at Ephesus that apparently disturbed him. John is the only apostle who lived into old age. And when he came back from Patmos, he landed in Ephesus and he stayed there the rest of his life. And apparently he saw something there that was disturbing him when he was an old man, because tradition has it that in every single assembly of that church, even when he was old and they had to help him to the platform, in every single assembly, he had an admonition to them. And it was simply this: little children, love one another. That was what he wanted them to do. Paul said, carry each other's burdens. That's the way you do it at Broadway. Paul also said, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building each other up according to their needs, That's just the way you do it at Broadway. He said, encourage one another and build each other up. And that's the way you do it at Broadway. Alan had mentioned the little email devotional that I send out each day. Several of you received that. I had an exchange recently with a lady. She lives a long way from here. Don't try to figure it out. But I had this exchange with this lady. It happened on a Sunday afternoon. I've known her a long time. And she is really a wonderful, wonderful person. But I had a call from her one Sunday afternoon some time ago. And she said at that time, Joe, I want to continue receiving your email devotionals. But she said, except for that, I'm quitting. I had no idea what she was talking about. I said, you're quitting what? She said, the church. I'm quitting the church. And I said, no, you're not. I said, you've been in the church a long time. You love the church. You're not quitting the church. And she said, I'm quitting. And I said, well, why? Why are you quitting? And she said, it came to me this morning when I was in church and I got to looking around at the people and I finally realized something that's been simmering inside of me for a long time. Nobody cares. She said, nobody cares about me. It would make no difference if I was living or dead. Nobody cares about me. I might as well be invisible. And she said, that's the way it is in all of our churches. She said, I've visited other congregations and not even been spoken to. And she said, nobody cares. And she said, all of our churches are that way. And I said, no, you're wrong about that. All of our churches are not that way. You've just had a bad day. And I'm sorry for whatever it is that's happened, but take a couple of aspirin, get a good night's sleep. You'll be okay tomorrow. You'll get past this thing. I know that some of our churches could brush up on their friendliness, but they're not all cold and uncaring. And she said, Joe, they are. And I said, you know, in my time, I've had the privilege of traveling pretty much all over the country and speaking in our churches, and I've met a lot of people who care for each other and who take care of each other. And she said, where? And I said, well, a lot of places. And she said, where? And I said, a lot of places. And she said, really? And I said, yes, really. She said, name one. She said, Joe, you can't name one. Name just one. And I said, okay. I gave her your name. Let's stand and sing.